This industry has been predicted to be worth $90 billion globally by 2030. Will this incident put the brakes on that, or is it just sort of bump in the road?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it's probably at an inflection point and it's a critical event in the development of the industry, because obviously if the public panics and if popular support for the development of the technology evaporates, then reasonably industry and legislation will shut down and the innovative developments. And there is that risk that this incident is magnified in terms of the public's perception of its danger, and that should not be allowed to happen.
Many states in the US have adopted what you call a light touch approach to regulating driverless vehicles. Can you explain what this means?
Yeah, I think the approach in the US has been very different to what we've seen here and in other countries, for example. The legislation, or the even in some cases executive orders rather than full legislation, has been pushed by industry, right? So, for example, Arizona largely had a hands-off approach to self-driving cars because it wanted to lure these operators and developers into the state away from California. So before that, California, obviously because of Google and Silicon Valley, et cetera, was seen to be the leader in self-driving cars, both technologically and in terms of regulation. But when Uber ran into trouble with the regulators in California, because obviously they were not following the requirements, Arizona saw an opportunity to grab that industry and potentially generate new jobs, advance related technologies and so on, and said, look, we are welcoming you with open arms. We have a lot more freedom in terms of the regulatory climate. We won't regulate you to death, so to speak. And therefore, Uber moved to Arizona. And if you actually go to Phoenix, you'll see, I mean, it's very surprising. It's literally the mecca for self-driving cars. And chances are you'll run into one very, very soon on the streets as you drive in Phoenix or Tempe or Scottsdale. And that's precisely because of this kind of enabling regulatory climate.
Do we currently have driverless cars being tested on public roads in Australia?
I think my understanding is that there's some testing going on in South Australia and in New South Wales. But obviously, we're very much at an infant stage, even in the US, right? I mean, just to give you some context, what we're talking about here, I mean, in traditional vehicles in the US, it's reported that one person dies per 100 million miles of driving. And if you combine Waymo and Uber in terms of the number of miles that they've tested so far, it's less than 10 million miles. So we've had one death in one-tenth of the number of miles that it would take for a normal car to cause a fatality. And here, obviously, we're nowhere near close to even that 10 million miles. So it's not unreasonable to expect that a lot of testing will be required before we understand in some reliable form what the risks are, how the technology reacts to pedestrians, to other cars, and indeed how a human who might be sitting in the car interfaces with that machine, which is a robot, the car. So I think accident, which is very, very tragic, obviously, has got to be used as a learning moment in the evolution of self-driving technology, much like risks which are often disastrous or catastrophic that manifest in other contexts where new pioneering technology comes, right? Just imagine if space exploration had stopped after the first accidents with the Apollo missions, for example. So it's not, or the Challenger explosion, right? I mean, imagine if we stopped sending people to space. So it's these things are expected, and in some sense, the responsibility of industry, politicians, and the media is to educate the population about the expectations that they might reasonably have from these technologies, and to be clear that there will never be a day where a self-driving car will completely eliminate all accidents or all fatalities. The best case scenario is that it will reduce deaths on the roads. And indeed, in cases like Uber, the consumer benefit might be that we get a much lower cost transportation option. So, for instance, Uber estimates that the cost of a ride will go down by about 80% once self-driving technology becomes sort of commonplace in its platform. because the biggest cost is the driver.
I'm speaking with Deakin University Law Professor Sandeep Gopalan about the regulations surrounding driverless vehicles. In South Australia, we have several driverless programs, such as shuttles at Adelaide Airport and Flinders yeah. University. Are private trials like these more easy to regulate than public tests?
Yeah, I mean, I think it again goes without saying that more contained trials are easier to manage in the sense that you don't have the unpredictable events that we saw in Tempe a couple of days ago, right? So in a controlled setting, you don't have a pedestrian who might change their mind at the last minute, who might be drunk, who might be pushing something that is unexpected onto the road, et cetera, which is where the real challenge with self-driving technology is. So in one sense, you might say it's a lot easier to regulate and manage a very contained kind of trial condition. But obviously, that doesn't tell us as much about how a self-driving car is likely to react in the dynamic, unpredictable, uncertain, maddeningly confusing set of factors that one encounters whilst driving on a public road, right? Which is what we really need in order to let these cars onto the street. So we do need to learn and perfect the technology for the vagaries, the unpredictabilities of a public road. So just think about what happened in this particular accident. You had at 10 p.m. at night a woman who was apparently standing on the median of a busy public road, Middle Avenue. And initial reports indicate that she was standing with a push cart, which was apparently laden with soda bottles and shopping cart bags and things of that sort. And apparently there were trees and shrubs around her as well. And then for some reason, she decides to step onto the street to cross it whilst not being in the crosswalk. So, for example, this is the kind of dynamic, unpredictable situation that we all encounter when we are behind the wheel. I mean, occasionally pedestrians decide to run across the street, somebody hits the brake unexpectedly, so on and so forth. So it is an unexpected situation, but something that people frequently encounter. And we don't know whether in this particular case, the Uber's automated driving system was confused because of the fact that there were trees. Was it confused or did not classify correctly because the woman had a shopping cart or a trolley full of bottles and things of that sort? Did it think it was a passive object? Did it not classify the image as a pedestrian? And therefore, did it not cause the car to slow down and brake? So these are the questions that we need to learn the answers to.